Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Why don't they make a bill compactor?
Hey. A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. You know the words. I don't know the words to this song. Everything's a song.
Everything's a song.
Just take a look around you.
I'm still. Megan and I were gonna write a parody of that like forever ago. And Carrie was supposed to give me the background thingy, and it never happened. I need to remind her.
I want
to write a parody called "Everything's a Bomb." I ran this by Carrie, and she was okay with it.
I want you and Megan to do "Megan, Are You Moonbeam?" Or "Moonbeam, Are You Megan?"
Can you sit down, please?
So, hey, this is Luke, and we're live from Famous Hamburger in Dearborn, Michigan, just following PenguinCon, and I'm here with the hosts of the Pod of Destiny, Blasted Bill and Moonbeam, and also joining us are other people who have names and do things.
I regret that remark.
Uh-oh.
So,
we have Cranky Baby Ferris.
Who is now Laffy Baby Ferris.
He goes in between. He's really hungry, so... Yeah.
We have Dan, we have Davros, and we have Minion and...
Spider.
And wasn't there somebody else here?
Karen.
Okay, then I wasn't imagining people.
Yes, our other roommate.
Cannonball Karen, or... What's your other name now?
Karen has another name now?
She has another nickname now, I don't know.
I've never heard another nickname for Karen.
I thought... Karen... You have another nickname now besides Cannonball Karen, don't you? I don't know. I thought you had another nickname now that was, like, recent. I could be wrong. Never mind.
She's Can-Do Karen.
Can-Do Karen.
chicken nuggets? You get coleslaw pasta.
What's my doing? Who wants... Yeah.
Coleslaw?
Yeah. Someone's going to have coleslaw.
So, Bill Putt, as somebody who is involved with PenguinCon, how did PenguinCon go for you?
For me, it was really busy, but that's because they decided to make me the Hack of Honor this year. They decided to make Open Soda the Hack of Honor. And I was trying to get rid of the duties of Open Soda to another guy. And, you know, I'm like, oh, great, now I'm going to have to do a lot of work. So we brought in a new dispensing unit. And it froze solid on Friday, well, Thursday night. And so we had to spend all day Friday freezing it so we could work again. And then I had a whole bunch of panels and I had to be places. So it was busy and I didn't want to be busy. So I'm hoping to have some fun tonight.
Well, I appreciate that you came out to see my show on Saturday.
Yes, that was the show was excellent. I died laughing. It was hilarious. I won't give away what it was.
Yeah, the only other people who have seen that yet is the people who are at MarCon, and it was basically... I think Chris Mezzalesa saw it, I think, is the only person I can think of that's from our regular group of hardcore dementia fan types. So how was the convention for you?
Up and down. It was a pretty decent convention, I would say. I had a lot of fun last night, so that was good. Yeah, you had fun too? He only does it when you take the recorder away.
I think we got it a couple times. Yeah. And the video of that is awesome online.
Oh, that I posted from the airport.
He's like on your shoulder all tired.
Yeah, he's like in a baby carrier because I was just about to get on a plane with him. And I'm like, how to entertain a toddler? So I started singing it. And that was the first time he started singing along.
Yay.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah, I was actually, when I flew on a plane with him about a month ago, I was complimented on my toddler distraction techniques.
He's signaling for something.
What do you, girl, you're not all done. You didn't even eat anything yet. Yeah, my best two best toddler distraction techniques were letting him look at the Blu-ray box of the Muppets for, you know, like half an hour, and making his Yo Gabba Gabba characters sing to him. Oh, you wanted some juice?
So you guys dressed as Yo Gabba Gabba characters yesterday.
We love Yo Gabba Gabba. So, I was Broby, who is an emotional two-tone green character. and Danny was Muno, who is the tall, red, adult toy-looking character. and Ferris was DJ Lance Rock. Right? Are you DJ Lance? Are you putting paper in my water?
Send that to me.
Thank you.
Well, I'll look it up later.
I needed some paper to drink. That's very important that is in
there. He's trying to do a litmus test.
Yeah. I can check the pH balance here at the restaurant.
So,
I almost made it worse.
So, I understand there are technical difficulties over at the Pot of Destiny at the moment.
Oh, yeah, well, yes. All of Dementia Radio and the Pot of Destiny and everything.
Is there an extra
The main server got hacked, and so the website is giving out viruses. So we have, at the moment, disabled the web server, and on Friday, the new server should have been sent to me. So hopefully in the next couple weeks, I'll be rebuilding the server and getting everything back online. But so it's going to be a pain in the butt for everyone on Dementia Radio. But in the end, we're going to have a much better server. So once
that's all taken care of, how many episodes of Pot of Destiny are currently in the backlog?
About 10. editing them has been on my to-do list. They've just not gotten to done.
Well, I look forward to hearing them all, because I know there are things like Carrie had been saying, oh, there's this awesome thing that happened that we got recorded, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to hear it eventually, and I still haven't heard it.
3 years later.
Well, we still have a video podcast we have to start working on.
Yes. I've seen a preview of it, and it looks funny.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a lot of things for that.
All I have to say is there's much funnier things that we haven't showed anyone yet.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's going to be
awesome. Besides the people that were involved.
Yeah, well, yeah, Karen was there for the filming of some of it.
Oh, yeah. You guys haven't finished that yet, have
no,
you?
No.
But now that Dan has done with classes.
Last summer?
No, it was September. September, October, yeah.
Last fall.
So, yeah, well, now that Dan's out of school, we can start editing. So
how was the PenguinCon experience for you folks on this side of the reality?
Brief.
Oh, yeah, it was very brief for Devers.
I had a wonderful time. Last night, I randomly happened into the Big Top area and found a kid playing electric violin to 8-bit music in the background, and he was really good. It was really interesting.
Cool.
And then they started doing a sound check for something else, and we got bored and left because it was like 2 a.m. and that's how short our attention spans were at the time.
Wow.
But it was really, it was one of those like, wow, where else would you find just happen upon something like that at like 2 o'clock in the morning? No. That's why we love PegCon.
Yeah.
Spent way too much time in gaming. I did not expect to be.
We had a nice big gaming area this year.
Oh, yeah.
It was a hall.
It was roped off from the rest of the convention. Yeah. contain the gamers.
But it was right outside the Big Top, so it wasn't like they were stuck in a corner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they were happy.
It was easy to find.
And they had their own exit to the outside.
They were right next to the smokers.
Because you gotta let the gamers out once in a while to air out.
Or smokers.
Yeah.
So it was convenient for them.
Definitely put them in the foremost position where you could find gaming. I had a little trouble finding everything else. I never actually set foot in the dealer's room, but what do I need to buy?
I only set foot in there because
I have all your CDs.
Definitely also conveniently located.
Except I realized I went and got myself Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 1 and the third Cirque du Soleil, thinking I had already gotten the second one. I got the second one, I didn't have the first. There's one of the two stupid cowboy things I need to get.
Well, I have them in the car if you want to get them.
I should probably. I think about number one, I don't have...
Because Pimplecon can't stop me from selling things at Famous Hamburger.
Frank Hayes had a little joke about how he has exactly one CD. It's like, and if you have that one CD, well, you have it. You have all of my current commercial offerings. We joked about what's Frank plugging now? Nothing new. Not since 2000 or whatever.
It's kind of how emo Philip was the last time you saw him. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. I love seeing emo.
I know. I wish he would come back.
I feel so bad every time we see him, but it's so awesome that like he like is so happy that we're his fans. It's like we're
the nicest people ever.
One of the times Steph and I went to see him in Madison, and you know we brought in like our UHF poster and stuff for him to autograph and. You know, he actually said, you know, I wish I had rabid fans. And I'm like, we are your rabid fans. You just don't have anything of yours that you've produced that we can have you autograph.
I have food now.
Yay. Bill will be eating
sticks
a food.
Of cheese.
With lettuce on the side. Why is there lettuce on the side of cheese?
Well, I think I'm going to save the rest of my PenguinCon coverage for when I'm talking to Carrie. Because she wasn't here.
Yes.
Hi, but, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And Alex and Josh.
Oh, God.
Check out my new video. I sang Lullaby just for you. Actually, so, who else had babies this year? We got you. We got Carrie's new baby. Well, a year and a half ago.
Badger Monkey.
Badger Monkey. Badger Monkey's got babies.
One month old. Alex.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there's two Alexes in the fandom community.
Nice.
Today
was,
like a month.
They're like, we were thinking of naming our
Alex.
Yeah, they
told me,
like,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's really rising in popularity again.
Nobody
Whatever.
Likes Dave. When I was born, Dave was the second most popular name for a child. Nothing's ever risen to number one.
You're sitting right next to a John.
I do.
And across from a Bill.
My mom told me recently
I was their number one son, but they treated me like
another child
two.
Of mine, John. I'm like, really, Mom? Do you think I would give my kid that normal of a name? Like, I don't really understand what your logic is there. But
you need to read more science fiction. Name your children after obscure.
I'm weirdly lucky because Luke is considered to be a normal type of name, but so few people have it.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably thanks to like you know. Star Wars, Dukes of Hazzard, and General Hospital, you know? So.
Now, a friend of mine recently named her son Luke, and it wasn't, hey, Luke's a really nice name. That's a, wait a minute, what's your last name? Newton? Your son's name is Luke Newton? Why would
Could
you do
Fig.
That to him?
I know somebody whose nickname is Fig, short for Figment, but his last name were Newton.
Yeah, Fig Newton. No.
I've always wanted, if I ever had a son, I wanted him to have a son named Isaac, after Isaac Newton. But my girlfriend at the time, Mari, had a brother named Isaac. She said, you would not name our child Isaac. Not to have the same name as his uncle.
Oh, you just spilled things.
Well done.
I did. I spilled it good.
Epic cocktail fail.
My parents' second choice for my name was Noah. You know, showing yet again that my father was a Catholic Marine, you know, with the biblical name choices. So.
Oh, God. A Marine. And I'm just thinking, like, Noah and the Ark, like, a Marine assault vessel with, like, storm-trooping elephants. Drop the gangplank and piling ashore with pachyderms.
Well, I will insert a song into the podcast, and then we will time warp to being with Carrie. So that will be a podcast thing that happens about now.
Thank you. Darth Vader had his Death Stars, though they only really shot one planet down. Then there was the Galaxy Gun and the Sun Crusher 2, and the world. The Dark Phoenix, Fantastic Four, they fought Galactus and the Nihilus too in Ragnarok. Thor faced the Midgard Serpent and the Daleks, how they plagued old Doctor Who. And Lovecraft scared the hell out of us with Cthulhu. But no matter how you say his name, he doesn't hold a candle to. A planet-sized transformer laying waste to all that's in your path. Unicron, your name almost spells unicorn, but you're a total planet-killing badass. I don't think that I could love a world without you there to eat it. On it. Oh, how that filled my heart with glee. Unicron, a planet-sized transformer, big ways to all that's in your path. Unicron, your name almost spells unicorn, but you're a total
everybody, this is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And Alex is on my shoulder. I'm gonna try not to talk too loud because I don't wanna wake him up.
Okay.
Will this still pick me up at this volume?
Yes.
Okay, so we're at the Cheese Factory, a vegetarian, awesome, super awesome restaurant in Wisconsin Dells. And we are on our way back from the Twin Cities because Luke helped me significantly with baby tour. So Alex has finally met his grandma, my mom, his great-grandma, my dad's mom, and also got a short visit with his grandpa, my dad. So now the only grandparent he hasn't met yet is Josh's mom, but he's scheduled to meet her on June 2nd. And it's been kind of a stressful journey, and lots of city driving because Luke rented a car, so I had to do lots of city driving with just me and the baby, and there's tons of construction and those cement things that like block you into one lane with like great big cement walls on either side, and you're like scared to death that you're gonna hit one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because they're building like this new light rail system through major parts of the city and stuff.
Well, yeah, but on more for me the bigger problem was on Highway 52 where they're doing all this bridge work over the Mississippi River. So there's like this gigantic bridge. You're going over the whole bridge with like cement closing you in on either side.
You've been served? Yes.
So we stayed in the Dells on Sunday night. We stayed in St. Paul on Monday and Tuesday night. And then last night, which was Wednesday, we stayed in the Dells again.
In the same hotel room.
Because I'd never been on a road trip with the baby, so I, you know, was worried about how that would go, and I didn't think starting, you know, our first road trip with 400 miles in one day would be a good idea. So, we didn't, like, do any fun Delsy things, unless you count this restaurant.
And me going to the Black Hawk Inn video arcade and playing Sinistar, Cruisin' World, and Joust. I did pretty good on Cruisin' World. I beat China and then played New York and almost won that one.
But sometimes it's nice just to be in the Dells, even if you're not doing lots of fun Dellsy things.
We drove by Riverview Park and Waterworld to discover that they're building a huge wall around where it used to be and tearing it down so they can build a wildlife park. And that kind of made me sad because Riverview Park and Waterworld was my first water park at the Dells when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer to see that go. But anyway, we should talk about...
The Minnesota part of the journey, I Monday night met up with my mom and we ate at a Chinese buffet. And Tuesday I went over to my grandma's house. And then Tuesday evening, met up with my mom and we went to the Mall of America. And sort of a stressful day because the baby hadn't napped hardly at all that day and he was crabby.
Today, of course, one with no ice.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it's just dripping.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so the Mall of America, I just ended up going from one nursing room to another. There's probably more than two nursing rooms at the mall, but I only know of two because there was two on a nursing room website. Not that I can't nurse in public, and I damn near did at Chipotle because he was being such a crab. But then my mom started pushing him around the hallways in the stroller, so then he calmed right down. But so, like, I went to Carter's at the Mall of America, which is a baby and toddler clothing store. Carter's is, like, the most famous name in baby and toddler clothing. Mm-hmm. Or at least for baby clothing. Because you can get Carter's clothing, like, anywhere. Target, Babies R Us. My mom picked out a froggy outfit for my froggy, my leapfrog, and I used their nursing room. And then we went to eat at Chipotle, and Alex was being real crabby. And then we went to Nordstrom's, and I bought a black onesie that says I'm cranky. Is there a nap for that? N-A-P-P. And then, like, little pictures of things that look like apps but are baby-related. So it's hilarious. It's it's clever. It's like a clever T-shirt, like what Alex's daddy wears, except it's a onesie and not a T-shirt. So he can put that on and his little jeans, and he'll be dressed up like daddy. And he was still crabby, so we had to go buy him a pacifier, and it says mute button on it. Then on Wednesday I went over to my grandma's, but then she had chest pain, so she wanted to go to urgent care. So shoved everything in the car, including her walker, which was part of it was in the small of my back, and part of it was locking the steering wheel, and drove her down to urgent care. Crap, I just spilled pop. And then I was proud of myself that day for being able to handle the crises, and I was also proud of Alex. He was just being such a good baby just when I kind of really needed him to be a good baby. He wasn't screaming or crying. And he went a while without nursing. Still never started screaming. And then they took my grandma down to the hospital, but they decided she's fine and that there was nothing wrong with her. And I met up with my mom for another hour, saw her new apartment again, and looked at baby pictures, and she showed me all these baby clothes that used to be mine. So that was cute, and she gave me a few things that were gender neutral to bring home. So Alex can have a few outfits that his mommy used to wear. And then I met up with my dad at the Black Dog Cafe in downtown St. Paul, and then we left. And meanwhile...
On Monday night, I met up with my friends Bill Anstead and his wife Carol. Bill is the Bill of Ray TV fame, a.k.a. Bossa Nova Bill. And I always want to meet up with them and have dinner or whatever when I come to Minneapolis, but I'm always too busy with the conventions or whatever to ever have time to do it. So it was nice to have an evening where I could just hang out and talk with them. And with their two sons, Colin and Sam. So it was just cool getting caught up in everything. Carol thinks that I should, get a resume together because she didn't realize that I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. So she kind of feels like I should be able to get a job pretty much anywhere because I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. So,
okay.
You know. She worked in like in the advertising industry in the past. Like she had some major accounts with Burger King and stuff like that. So just the fact that she basically said that the fact that I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree means that I have a brain that I can, you know, figure stuff out and, you know, I'm committed and stuff like that. Besides the fact that I have, you know, illustration talent and creative thinking skills and blah, blah, blah. So
okay.
Anyway, so that was Tuesday night. That was Monday night. Tuesday, I met up with Angie for lunch at this pasta place, something Da Vinci in downtown St. Paul, and that was super tasty. Then after that, I went to Cheapo Records in St. Paul, and then I went to the Cheapo Records in Minneapolis
because
Cheapo Records has one of the biggest and best selections of comedy CDs.
Mm-hmm. They're mostly used, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're mostly used, but they got some new stuff too. But you know, I mean, they're an awesome store for, you know, CDs and movies and music in general. There's even some vinyl stores of theirs, but I mainly go there because of their gigantic selection of comedy CDs, both rare and new at good prices, or you know, used at good prices. So I tried not to go too crazy with spending, so I picked up the book on CD of Steve Martin's Pure Drivel, I picked up an interesting kind of outtake CD of Patton Oswalt doing stand-up comedy drunk while Zach Galifianakis is behind him playing the piano and they start picking on each other. The title of that CD is Patton versus Alcohol versus Zach versus Patton. So it's like a half hour long, but it was I thought it was worth the money just to hear something like that.
Would you be able to help me put some soft things behind my back?
Sure.
I can't like sit like this unless this chair is not ideal for leaning back with a sleeping baby on me. Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Okay. I got the stand-up comedy album by Wyatt Cenac called Comedy Person. He's one of the correspondents on The Daily Show. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Carrie wasn't familiar with him, and you know, I hadn't heard his stand-up before outside of his work on The Daily Show. And, yeah, it's quite hilarious. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of the album. And I got an album that I heard about. I knew it existed, but I never made an effort to purchase it. But this is the first time I saw it at a store. It came out in 2010. It is an EP by Digital Underground called the Greenlight EP. And it has, like, I can't remember exactly how many tracks, like 8, I think, tracks on it. But, you know, it's new tracks with Shock G, Humpty Hump, Money B, yet another one of the personas of Shock G, Peanut Hakim on Afu Washington, the lawyer. It's got some good stuff. In fact, you know, thus far, there's, you know, I haven't given it an intense amount of thought, but I seem to like this EP, you know, more than their last album that came out a long time back.
So. Like that water?
Probably not. Here, you can have it.
Okay.
So that was cool. I'll likely be playing stuff from those CDs on
Definitely.
This show.
It is quality comedy.
Yes. The Greenlight EP, Digital Underground, you can search that out online. I'd assume it's available digitally. I picked up between the two cheapo records, I got those albums. something else I'll explain later. I went to, just down the road from the cheapo in Minneapolis, is a video arcade called Rusty Quarters that Shoebox pointed me to when I posted about places to go in the Twin Cities. And it's not a very big place, but it has some high quality, you know, classic 80s video games, and they all are just a quarter to play, like the old days. So I spent $1, and I played Q-Bert, Burger Time, Mario Brothers, and Donkey Kong. And
I stayed there long enough to spend $1?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I had dinner plans to go have a dinner with Brian LeBounty and his two sons at Khan's Mongolian. No, he didn't show up. What happened is my brother Michael's cell phone got stolen on his first day at work at a new teaching job.
Mm.
Apparently he's going to be, because he does substitute teaching, and apparently this place asked him if he'd sign on to like basically finish out the rest of the school year. So he started this new job on Tuesday, and then at some point during that day his phone got stolen or lost or something. So
probably by a student.
Yeah. So basically he tried to get a hold of me, but since I didn't notice the phone ringing, I missed his call, and so I had to wait to, you know, answer a call from him later, and by then it was kind of too late for us to get together. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Do you need more water?
Yeah.
Yeah, she would like some more water. So unfortunately I wasn't able to hook up with my brother, but that's okay because we had been hanging out the previous Saturday night in Madison, and I guess I'll talk about that later. So I met up with Brian LeBounty and his two sons at Khan's Mongolian Barbecue, so we just hung out and talked a long time. We discussed, you know, ideas for MarsCon, you know, it was just, you know, nice being able to just chill and have a nice long conversation with him, because usually, you know, we're at a convention and we aren't really able to have decent conversations. And then after that,
I've got stuff on my salad.
Okay. After that, I headed to the St. Anthony Main Theater and met up with Earl, where he was working. I watched the end of the Avengers so that I could see the scene at the very, very end of the credits that I didn't know was there. Thank you. I watched a really interesting foreign film while I was waiting for Earl to be done with work. The movie is called Rent-A-Cat. It's a Japanese film about a woman who rents cats to lonely people.
That's a good idea.
So she has like this like kind of push cart thing. Well, it's actually more like a pull cart, because she's kind of walking in front of it with a bar and the cart's behind her. And it's got these like little compartments in it that are all filled with cats and like a big umbrella over the top. And she just has a little megaphone, and she's saying this in Japanese, but I'm going to say it in English because I don't know the correct words in Japanese. But she's like walking down this river path out in some city, so there's people walking by and stuff and kids, and she's singing into the megaphone, Rent-A-Cat, Rent-A-Cat, feeling lonely? I'll lend you a cat. Rent-A-Cat. So, it was an interesting film, and
God, my grandma likes cats. Because she's lonely, and she's, you know, dogs are too hard to take care of, and she's just not a cat person, I guess.
So,
excuse me, how are we doing here? Everything is good so far?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Do you have any ketchup or mustard?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you. So anyway, the point of me waiting for Earl to be done with the regular film shift is because in Theater 3, they have a DVD and Blu-ray player hooked up to their video projector. Thank you.
Thank you.
And he said that if... He said that if I could think of a movie that he might own on, you know, DVD or Blu-ray that I'd want to watch on the big screen with him, that, you know, we could do that at 11 o'clock after the Rent-A-Cat movie ends. Mm-hmm. So I started texting him, you know, various titles of movies I thought that he might own that I hadn't seen in a long time. And I mentioned one of them, and he texted back saying he didn't have that, but if I found it to grab it because he hadn't seen it in so long and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was much earlier in the day. And then I went to Cheapo in Minneapolis, and I found the movie at Cheapo in Minneapolis for only $10. So that is why Earl and I sat in the theater and watched the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Around midnight, right?
Well, yeah, it's around 11 or midnight or whatever.
The Garbage Pail Kids movie.
The Garbage Pail Kids movie, which I had seen a bunch of times on cable when I was a kid, but I never have watched any time recently in my life. And it's one of those situations where the past definitely had kind of a rose-colored glasses effect. And I'm willing to defend most things from my childhood.
But
Garbage Pail Kids, the movie, or the Garbage Pail Kids movie is technically the title, is such a horrible piece of shit. Oh my God, that movie is so bad. I go into in-depth detail on why it's so bad, but I think I'm going to save that for the Fumpcast, because I'm going to be doing, you know, Kyle and Luke talk about cartoons tonight. And even though technically it isn't fully a cartoon, at least not in any major direct way, it kind of qualifies. Anyway, so yeah, we watched that and just marveled at how horrible it was, and we were like looking up information about the film online while we were watching it just to kind of figure out
something he also enjoyed as a child?
I think so. Okay. Either that or it was something that he knew was horrible that he hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh.
Because it's... I forget which website he mentioned, but one of the major film websites lists it as one of the worst films ever made.
And you would agree.
Yeah. And the, the movie actually has a couple of songs in it, which are, you know, pretty much horrible and nonsensical and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so...
We should play one of them.
No, we shouldn't. Maybe I'll play a brief clip of one of them or something.
Totally
but,
should.
But it was nominated for 3 Razzies the year it came out, but it lost to other things that were somehow more horrible than it.
I didn't know the Razzies were that old.
Yeah, they've been around for a very long time. What was the other thing I was just going to say? Anyway, so, you know, after we got done, you know, watching that, I came back to the hotel, went to bed, got up the next day, went to have lunch with Holly, and it was nice to have lunch with her out in the diner. And then after that, I headed up to Maplewood to hang out with Keith and Jody, a.k.a. Keterman, of Insanity on the Airwaves from WLFM in Appleton and also of Dementia Radio. Apparently he's going to try to get something happening on Dementia Radio again, which is cool. And then after that, I met up with Carrie and her dad at the Black Dog, and we went home. So I kind of inadvertently turned... I guess another aspect I should mention is that I was hoping originally when we first planned this trip that I was going to be able to get together with Jared Ringgold and work on some music. But I didn't have time to write anything new, and Jared had his own project to work on of making a video for possible Oscar to advertise their show at Convergence for Convergence TV. So we just ended up deciding that it would be for the best if we didn't get together this time around. So I hate the thought that I missed an opportunity, but, you know, it was... Yeah, I just I've just had way too much. If I had been able to plan farther out in advance, maybe something would have happened. But you know, I even though I had ideas, I just wasn't able to sit down or write or come up with anything constructive so that we could have made the best.
Spent a few weeks waiting for me to confirm that yes, we're actually doing this.
Well, yeah, that plus the fact that you know I had PenguinCon and I had my Kickstarter and I had a ton of other stuff going on in my life that kept me from being able to sit down and concentrate on songwriting or idea having or whatever. So anyway, there will be another song for me eventually, just not anytime soon, unless I get inspired. So yeah, that was my side of this trip, and you know, it's nice to visit the Dells and you know see the changes that are happening, you know, make note of them. I'd still like to come back here at some point and do a video for Going to the Dells song.
And you have to admit, you enjoy hanging out with my baby.
Yeah, well, I like hanging out with you too, but Alex is a fun guy.
He's my buddy. He's my rock and roll buddy, yeah.
So, anyway, should we close off this segment so we can concentrate on eating right now?
Yes.
All right, well, and now here's something else on Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
With the force of a rocket. I plunged a wooden stake
to Dracula's heart as he analyzed the passage from Nicholas Sparks. Blade and Grandpa Monster, they were both thrown in cages, littered with remains of Jane Austen pages.
Restaurant.
Which is actually a restaurant and not a cheese factory.
Yes.
And it's vegetarian.
And the meal was very yummy. And now you're having decaf rose flavored coffee.
Yes.
While you nurse a baby.
Yep.
So okay, I figured this would be a good time for my recap of PenguinCon. So yeah. showed up on Friday, went to the dealer room, and set up the table that Tom Smith had reserved for himself and for me. He was going to be sharing it with one of his friends who was doing jewelry or something, and then she didn't have her jewelry ready, so he offered it to me, and I took him up on it. So got there Friday, set up my half of the table, and then I heard from Tom. Actually, I heard from somebody else, because Tom posted it on his Facebook, or his live journal, that he had some commission work to do and stuff, so we decided not to come to the con on Friday. So the table just ended up being mine for Friday. So, you know, hung out there, did some sales, that was all good. Friday night after the room closed, I went to see Mikey Mason in concert. And those of you who have been listening to this podcast a while might remember the song She Don't Like Firefly. He did that song, and he's a stand-up comedian who tours around the country.
Put a couple Splendas in here.
Sure. He's a stand-up comedian who tours doing stand-up at regular stand-up clubs across the country, but he also has a whole set of songs and material about nerdy things, and he's released a CD called Impotent Nerd Rage, which I picked up there, and I watched his show. I mean, he did like at least like 90 minutes or so set, and it was a really great set. It was really funny, a lot of great songs, and he recognized me in the audience, which was kind of weird because I never expect anyone to know who the hell I am, you know, outside of you know, my con circles and funk circles and stuff. So the fact that I walked in and sat down, and he's like, "Oh my God, the great Luke Skies in my audience," I'm like, "Okay, I guess."
you were.
And he started doing a bit about the concept of spoilers in general. And like, and during the bit, he's like, you know, I should do a song where all the song is a big list of all the spoilers. Has anyone done a song like that? And then I raised my hand, and he's like, oh, Luke, you've done a song like that? I'm like, no, but I can name three other groups who have. So
Tom Smith did one, and
Grandpa Choco, Throwing Toasters.
I don't know what the third one is.
MC Frontalot.
Oh.
And Ian was going to do one until he heard about Frontalot's song, and then he decided, all right, never mind that.
There's enough of them.
Yes. So you know, he did a really great show, and I got to talk with him after the show, and, you know, like I said, bought his CD, and he is interested in MarsCon, so we'll see what happens with that. After that, I think I hit the con suite and stuff, ran into some of the guys from Scrub Club Records and said hi to them, and, you know, hung out with Bill and Moonbeam for a while, and then I went back to the hotel room, which was actually Moonbeam and Dan's hotel room, with Ferris and some other friends. So, you know, I had an air mattress, and, you know, it was, you know, I like saving money when performing at cons on the road. So I appreciate them opening their room to me. So, okay, Saturday, you know, spent most of the day in the dealer room. At 5 o'clock, I had my concert. Once again, Brian of the Goskulls lent me his projector so that I could set up and do a video concert. So, Nathan from Possible Oscar was there because he had moved to the Michigan area. And apparently now he's moving back to the Twin Cities area. So, you know, yeah. But he happened to be at BigwaCon.
But he's not rejoining Possible Oscar?
We don't know. Or he doesn't know. He's not sure.
Okay.
I mean,
that's
something that's for internal Possible Oscar band business to determine.
That's for them to know and for us to find out.
Exactly. So, you know, so he came to the show and he gave me a really nice compliment after. He said that, you know, it was like, you know, the best concert he had ever seen me do. So that was really an awesome, nice compliment. Tom Smith, of course, showed up on Saturday, so he and I were hanging out at the dealer room together. I started just for the sake of having something to do so that I wasn't, you know, completely wasting all my time sitting there at a dealer table. I had my markers and cards with me, so I began drawing TVs of myself on cards, like to the right-hand side of it, and then signing my name so that I could, you know, be prepared for when I have to do all the Kickstarter chibis. I could have all of the work half done for all these chibis already when it comes time to start drawing the people. So I did 44 of them, and when I got done with the black and white portion, Tom was sitting there, and I leaned over to Tom, and I said, hey, look, Tom, it's the world's stupidest flip book. And I flipped them, and I went, ah! So it's just like this, you know, chibi of me, but it's kind of like vibrating, like, ah! And, like, Tom just started cracking up. And then I did it again, and I said, look, it's a physical representation of Lutsky's id. So that was pretty funny. let's see. So, yeah, Tom Smith did a concert, but I wasn't able to see it because I had to be at our dealer table. But I'm assuming it went well because he always does good shows. Later on that evening, I went to see the Penguin concert featuring a bunch of nerdcore acts, which were Sample the Martian, King Phoenix, Super Villains, and Mad Hatter. And by the way, Gundo from Toy Boat was there, and he was running sound.
Uh-huh.
And
see the redhead one?
Yeah, the one with kind of red, kind of curlyish hair and glasses. Yeah. And he runs the sound at a lot of conventions, and so he was there for my show in the afternoon, did a great job, you know. So he was tasked with running the sound for the Nerdcore shows, and, you know, Gundo being used to filk people, or at worst, people like me, you know, he wasn't quite prepared for the type of sound that, you know, a Nerdcore show wanted, because they're wanting to perform, you know, in more
loud,
like...
loud, with a lot of bass.
Yeah, you know, lots of volume, lots of bass. Like, you know, so Gundo was kind of scrambling to, you know, give them what they wanted, but also make it sound good, and also hopefully not annoy people out. Because they put the main stage was, like, right outside of this, you know, larger hallway space, and they turned the larger hallway space into tables for random gaming for people who were gamers.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, many of the gamers became annoyed with the Nerdcore concerts going on, and, you know, when it got to be later on in the evening, you know, some like I was kind of
it's
standing.
It's always funny when nerds are yeah. all like get off my lawn to other nerds.
Yeah, I know. So like I was hanging out in the back of the room, and all of a sudden all these gamers from next door kind of start coming in and complaining about like how people keep coming in to see the concert and then they leave the door open, which makes the volume even louder and worse. So I promised to hang out towards the back of the room.
And continuously shut the door.
Yes, continuously shut doors when people walk through them and leave them open. So I did that for some period of time, you know, but I did want to go see my other friends and do other things. So, but the nice thing was is that Empire, who was running the music track, who apparently also is a Sample of the Martian, he asked me if I wanted to get up and do a song. So between Sample of the Martian and King Phoenix, I think it was, I got up and I, you know, since it was Gundo System, all I had to do was plug in my Zen player. So I got up and I did What's Up Spock for the Nerdcore crowd, and they really dug it. So that was very nice. And then I went up and saw part of the presentation of Cinematic for the People, which I talked about last year. Me and Ian went and saw their show, but somebody had, like, stolen their video and sound system. Mm-hmm. Or not stolen it, but, like, taking it to be somewhere else at the con. And, you know, so they weren't really able to do their full-effect show. Well, this year they were able to do a full-effect show, and they had some really cool, funny, creative things going on, you know, in the, you know, in the spirit of MST3K and Rift Trax and Cinematic Titanic, you know. So they were watching some weird old, like, Japanese Superman knockoff from, like, the 40s or 50s and, you know, doing riffs and stuff, and I was yelling out riffs, too. So that was also, you know, that was awesome and a lot of fun. But then I left there to try to go find other friends and stuff, eventually ending up at the guys from the Nerdcore guys said that they were going to have an impromptu room party after all their concerts were over. So by about midnight, they all ended up at their room, which was like on the fifth floor. And so I was hanging out with them in their room. And since the hotel rooms have these radios now that you can plug, you know, MP3 players into, they were kind of taking turns plugging in their MP3 players and playing like their own songs. And then like they'd kind of like step forward and start rapping along with their own music and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there and it's like we're in a hotel room where it's like two beds, but there's kind of like this perimeter of people either standing or sitting while somebody who's kind of in the center is rapping. And I'm like, this is a filk circle. It's a filk circle, but it's all nerdcore rappers. It's essentially the same concept, different genre.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, this is what I have been wanting to have at conventions every year from the past 15 years.
Yeah.
Is a group of, you know, like-minded musician types to some degree, you know, all doing this stuff. So I still had my Zen player on me, so I plugged it in and I performed My Parents Bought Me a Television for them, and they totally dug it. So the guys were like totally super nice to me, and I was hanging out talking to them about a lot of stuff and, you know, trying to explain to them, like, yeah, you know, conventions like this, usually the music is run by these, you know, folk types, and they don't quite get hip-hop, but I'm happy to see it starting to show up more at conventions and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I think that was about it for Saturday. Then Sunday was basically just sitting in the dealer room, and then after it closed, I went and had a meal with Moonbeam and Bill, which those of you listening to the podcast have already heard a partial recording of. And then after that ended, I zipped back over to the con because I wanted to talk in their feedback session panel with the con chairs about the situation with musicians not being allowed to sell at their concerts, which is a huge issue for me, for Tom, and for many others involved with wanting to perform music at PenguinCon. So I, you know, was there long enough to, you know, give my feedback, and I'm hoping that they will, you know, take it seriously and look into changing those rules for future PenguinCons, because I'd like to continue performing there, but, you know, professional people like Mikey Mason and guys like the Scrub Club guys, like when they show up at a venue, they fully expect to be able to sell their stuff at their shows. It's mm-hmm. It's unprofessional and discourteous and all kinds of other negative adjectives, you know, to not allow musicians that are providing your convention content the ability to make back some of their money when you're not paying them to be there, you're not covering their travel or room expenses, you're, you know. Yeah, anyway, I won't go off on a rant because you've all heard it from me before. but, you know, basically we want PingoCon to go back to the way things used to be, which may be difficult considering their new location, but we want the con staff to make an effort towards change. And hopefully they will, because many people I've talked to on con staff there agree with me and on the issue and with the people. Yeah. So that's my PingoCon wrap-up. Now I will stop, and then there will be other types of segments later, to be determined.
Mars probe finds kittens. The recent probe to Mars has returned irrefutable evidence that the red planet is populated with approximately 27 three-month-old kittens. These kittens do not give birth and do not die, but are forever locked in a state of eternal kittenhood. Of course, without further investigation, scientists are reluctant to call the chirpy little creatures kittens. Just because they look like kittens and act like kittens is no reason to assume they are kittens, said one researcher. A football is a brown thing that bounces around on grass, but it would be wrong to call it a puppy. Scientists at first were skeptical that a kitten-type being could exist in the rare Martian atmosphere. As a test, Earth kittens were put in a chamber that simulated the Martian air. The diary of this experiment is fascinating. 6 o'clock a.m. Kitten appears to sleep. 7:02 a.m. Kitten wakes. Darts from one end of cage to another for no apparent reason. 7:14 a.m. Kitten runs up wall of cage, leaps onto other kitten for no apparent reason. 7:22 a.m. Kitten lays on back and punches other kitten for no apparent reason. 7:30 a.m. Kitten leaps, stops, darts left, abrupt stop, climbs wall, clings for 2 seconds, falls on head, darts right for no apparent reason. 7:51 a.m. Kitten parses first sentence of daily newspaper, which is at the bottom of the chamber. With the exception of parsing, all behavior is typical Earth kitten behavior. The parsing activity, which was done with a small ballpoint pen, was an anomaly. Modern kitten theory suggests several explanations for their existence on Mars. The first, put forward by Dr. Patricia Krieger of the Hey You Bub Institute, suggests that kittens occur both everywhere and nowhere simultaneously. In other words, we see evidence of kitten existence, but measuring their behavior is another matter. Just when the scientists point their instruments in a kitten's direction, it is gone, only to be found later in another place, perhaps at the top of drapes. Another theory, put forward by Dr. Charles Wexler and his uncle Ted, suggests that any universe where round things exist, from theoretical spheres to ping-pong balls, necessarily implies the existence of a mover kitten. The scientific world has responded by saying that the notion of the mover kitten is not a concern for legitimate research and should be relegated to the pseudo-scientific world. The pseudo-scientific world has responded by saying that at least 3 endorsements from independent crackpots are needed before anything can truly be called pseudo. Some have suggested that the hostility of the Martian climate should be enough to seriously set back the long-term prospects of any species. However, the weakness of Martian gravity is a bonus for felines. They are able to leap almost 3 times as high as they can on Earth. They can climb twice as far up a carpet-covered post. And a ball with a bell on it will roll almost 3 times as far. This is at least equal to the distance that a mature poodle can roll a ball with its nose. Even though there could be a big market on Earth for eternal kittens, most scientists agree that the human race should not pursue a further involvement. There are those, however, who believe that having now discovered the creatures, it is our responsibility to amuse them. Dr. Enos Mowbray and his wife/cousin Jane, both researchers at the Chicago Junebug Institute for Animal Studies, argue that the kittens could be properly amused by 4 miles of ball string cut into 14-inch segments. The cost of such a venture would be 4 miles of string, $135. Segmentation of string, $8. Manned Mars probe to deliver string and jiggle it, $6 trillion. The next time you look up at the heavens, Know that mixed in the array of stars overhead, there is a pale red dot called Mars. And on that planet are tiny creatures, whose wee voices are about to be thunderously heard on this planet. A meow of intergalactic proportions.
So I am recording for a podcast now.
Okay.
We are back at Lombard.
Yes. And you have a Buffy in your leg nook.
And there's an alarm going off.
Well, I did. Now I moved my leg nook.
So Daddy is happy to see Alex.
Oh, yes.
And was happy to see Mommy, too.
So...
I bet he wants
to
nurse soon.
So, I was trying to think of things that have happened since our last podcast that we could talk about, and one of them was Sarah's in-laws coming to visit.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Gamma and Gampa twice.
That was like the practice introduction to grandparents, because they wanted to meet my baby so bad. Which was funny to me, especially because I felt like I'd barely ever met them.
Yeah.
And they wanted to meet my baby so bad.
But they were wonderful and nice.
Oh, yes.
And they, she, you know, Barb had all the tricks and hints and tips on babies.
Yes. Yes, Sarah's mom is really, 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 really into babies. And Luke really loves babies, and Sarah... really loves babies, actually, but doesn't want to have one.
She loves babies like, you know, she can borrow a baby and then, you know, rent a baby.
Rent a baby.
Rent a baby. Feeling lonely? I'll lend you a baby.
What if your baby's defective, though?
That's a reference to a movie that, a foreign film that Luke saw over the week.
Oh, God.
Called Rent-A-Cat.
Rent-A-Cat.
A Japanese film about a woman who rents cats to lonely people and
hi.
Stuff.
Wow.
You're on a knee. Whoa, you're looking down at the world.
I used to be an adventurer, and then I took a baby to the knee.
What?
Yeah. Yes, Josh gets it.
Hi.
He's a gamer. He plays Skyrim.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, yes.
I don't play Skyrim, but I'm aware of that meme, so.
Hi.
So,
hi, knee baby.
He like grew a foot taller in the last 4 days.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. Trying to think of other things that happened.
Could you pass me a pillow? That pillow?
Yes.
There were some, not to overlook the improvements made at this house while we were gone, but at our house we got a new couch and a new mattress and a couple of ceiling fans and a chandelier installed, so...
A chandelier.
Yes, in the dining room.
Wow.
You know, so that we can
like
have
a
more...
fancy one?
It's not super fancy. It's just there, and it provides light. Much
it's
more
really
light than
tight.
Before.
And if you ever want to, like, swing around on and have, like, sword
do this,
fights...
Do this. No, not that.
Gotcha.
And not so tight.
Okay. Like that.
I had it on my chest, like up by my chest earlier, because I was nursing him standing up at the Oasis, because I could, and because the tables that were high up were more secluded than the ones that weren't.
So, yeah, I'm totally in love with the new couch. It is comfy, and it reclines at each end, and... It's just another step towards being, you know, somebody in their 40s that I will be in less than 2 years to be like, I'm on a comfy couch watching the TV. So
I got over 5 years left to go in my 40s.
Yeah,
so
So, yeah.
I don't feel like someone who's close to their 40s, but then again, neither do either of you. Probably.
Oh, I'm totally not close to my 40s. I'm a lot younger than that.
That's funny. No, baby. No.
So, boop, 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 boop. I already talked about PangoCon.
You can't talk about the Avengers.
Yeah, I can't talk about the Avengers, but I can talk about Marvel Movie Day when I went to the Ultimate Marvel Marathon,
which is, showing up at movie theater at 11:30 a.m. and then watching Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, The First Avenger, and then, you know, at the end at midnight, seeing the Avengers world premiere. And, it was an epic day. It was an experiment with myself because I wanted to see if I could sit through 6 movies in a theater in a row and get tired or bored with watching movies. And the answer is no, I did not get tired of watching movies. I actually sat there enjoying them throughout the day. The only potential downside was that the particular theater I was at, there are no fast food restaurants or anything like that anywhere in the immediate vicinity of the theater, and they didn't really announce how much of a time interval there was going to be between movies.
Make me some green beans.
So I basically was kind of stuck there eating theater food all day. So,
aww, poor you.
So for each movie, I picked a different form of theater food. So yeah, like the first movie was 2 hot dogs. Second movie was...
popcorn.
Let me say what it is. You weren't there.
I know. I'm just thinking about all the terrible, horrible theater food that you were subjected to.
Well, there was... one movie was 2 hot dogs. Then there was chicken tenders, then there was pizza, then there was mozzarella sticks, then I think I had one of their ice cream frozen fruise, whatever the hell it's called, chocolate ice creamy thing, and then I think I ended up the night with 2 hot dogs again. And somewhere in there I had snuck into the movie theater a couple of boxes of Whoppers, so I think I had one for the first movie and one for the last movie.
So you were putting all that up on Livestrong, right?
No. I've been too busy dealing with many other things in my life to keep tracking calories lately.
I'm nice.
So,
How many other people were actually in the theater all the movies?
Well, that's the thing. There were 2 screens doing the Ultimate Marvel Marathon because the first screen sold out. So I was in the second one, which wasn't sold out, but was still pretty darn full. So, you know, there were, you know, hundreds of people who each paid $40 to sit in the movie theater all day. And even at the beginning of the day, when like the very first movie, when I was in line to get food, I overheard employees being like, you know, we're out of chicken tenders. So like they were running out of food at the beginning of the day. So I'm imagining they had to scramble and get supplies from other AMC theaters shipped over to them so that they could, you know, deal with the onslaught of food ordering going on the entire day.
Yeah, a person only going to see one movie might have just eaten before they came and not order any food, but someone who's staying there all day is going to be ordering lots of food.
Yeah, and since it started at 11:30 in the morning, the timing, well, I guess technically if I would have planned ahead, I could have hit a Chipotle and snuck a burrito in, but it just didn't work out, so I had to just sneak in the Whoppers. But, But yeah, I enjoyed myself. They came in between movies and did little trivia questions for little trinkety prizes. One of the trivia questions was, name the 5 actors who have played either Bruce Banner or the Hulk in TV and movies, and some dude got it right. For the record, it's Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, Eric Bana, Edward Norton, and Mark Ruffalo.
I knew 2 of them.
So that's the kind of knowledge that helps you win games like Pass the Popcorn, you know, knowing names of actors who are in movies playing parts, because I know you two are dying to play Pass the Popcorn with me again.
It was fun.
Are you still resentful of your victory?
It's not like we didn't enjoy it.
You can't. I'm resentful that I got booed heinously twice on my birthday.
On my birthday. We enjoyed playing the game, and we very much enjoyed booing you.
Yeah. It was a twofer. I mean,
But anyway, without saying anything or giving anything away,
what
Avengers
were we supposed to do?
No, slow.
We bow to you.
You could have applauded.
Light applause.
See, yes, that would have been entirely appropriate.
What were we supposed to say, just with, like, sincerity, you are the movie master, Luke. You are, you know, like, there's nothing...
That's exactly what you could have done.
Only sarcasm is
appropriate.
The night should have, like, faded out with some 80s movie music in the background.
It was a sarcastic boo.
You got the touch. Dun, dun, dun. You've got the power. Yeah. That's how it should have been. So, anyway, Avengers is totally friggin' awesome. Isn't Avengers awesome?
Yeah, I've seen it twice now. So yes, I've seen it in I saw
it. Seen it more times than Luke.
I saw the 3D IMAX version of it on Tuesday.
Cool.
Which yeah, it's awesome, and you definitely you have to stay for the end because there are two stingers.
Yeah, see, the first time I saw it, I left after the first stinger because I figured that was it, but I was told about the second, so over the weekend when I was hanging out with Earl at his movie theater, I caught the second stinger there, so I'm very happy to have caught that. Yeah. Let's see, other thing I could talk about is I went to Madison on Saturday, May 5th to be there for my cousin Steve's 21st birthday party, which was an opportunity for me to hang out with my family, which was neat, and then we all went to karaoke afterwards. And I got on the mic and I sang Intergalactic in honor of the late MCA of the Beastie Boys,
oh, yeah.
Which was pretty awesome. And I was going to do other songs than... I was going to do songs that weren't the songs I typically do at karaoke, but because my mom and my sister were there, they were like, are you going to sing Just a Gigolo? And I'm like, well, I wasn't planning on it. They're like, sing Just a Gigolo! So then I did Just a Gigolo. And then, of course, after that, they're like, do the Humpty Dance! I'm like, okay... If you want me to do the stuff I always do, then sure. But it made them happy. What did Michael...
They are your biggest fans.
Michael, his two song selections were Walk Like a Man by Frankie Valli and Toxic by Britney Spears. And he nailed them both because he's, awesome.
Toxic by Britney Spears.
Yes. Picture my brother Michael singing Toxic. Don't you know that I'm toxic?
Michael's not a hipster, is he?
I wouldn't say so.
Does he like things ironically?
No, he likes things genuinely.
Okay.
I mean, he has an appreciation of irony, but, I don't... Basically,
I know when I met a hipster at, I won't say where I met her, but when she was wearing something made out of... like Beatles fabric, and I complimented her on it, and she's like, yeah, I'm wearing it ironically because there's so many Beatles fans out there, or
why is that? They're like really good musicians, and
that isn't how she worded it, but
yeah,
she stated that she was wearing it ironically, and I was just like thinking, okay, I think the Beatles are awesome. I would wear a Beatles fabric, non-ironically.
Yeah, we were definitely a family raised, for the most part, to like things at face value. But we have an appreciation of irony. And JT, my brother, has always been kind of a contrarian, so he would sometimes get into things that other people weren't into. Like, he really got into the Spice Girls. And he had a thing for Emma Bunton, Baby Spice. So, it's like...
and it's non-ironically, huh?
As far as I can tell, he was genuine about it, but he's always been the contrarian. And you know what? Shit on the Spice Girls, but at least, they have some decent, catchy, dancey party music, It's like, in their movie Spice World is actually pretty good. It's like The Monkees. I wasn't expecting that when I went to see it, but I was like, wow, I enjoyed this movie way more than I expected to.
It's probably not like The Monkees Head.
Well, no, it's like The Monkees TV show.
I saw Spice World. I had the DVD, but I gave it away at my wedding shower.
Ah. So anyway, those
and,
were
Richard O'Brien, isn't it?
So those were other things that have happened to me in the past, since mid-April, the last time we did a podcast. Are there other things that have happened besides going to the Twin Cities that you would like to discuss?
Well, we took Alex to get his first vaccinations, and it was more traumatic for us than for him, I think.
Yeah.
Especially, God, still makes me start almost crying when I think about when, he had me on one side of him and Josh on the other side of him as the nurse was kind of down by his feet
to give him vaccinations in his legs, and he started smiling. You know how he smiles all the time? He started smiling right before she stuck him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Twisting the knife in our hearts, like, killing us. And then she stuck him. And then he paused. And then he screamed bloody murder. Like, he's so unused to pain, he didn't even know what was happening quickly enough to process the scream right away.
Oh, man.
Poor guy. And then he smiled again briefly before the second stick.
Good
it
God.
Was just a heartbreak. Like, oh, I still can't think about it. So now he's, as of today, 10 weeks and 1 day old. So no more single-digit weeks for him.
That's good.
He's big boy. He was at his doctor's appointment, who was 13 pounds, 8 ounces, and 24 inches. And
I'm going to go to the train station, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You can go get a Sarah.
All right. I shall be back.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
So...
I think he's thanking Luke for taking me to Minnesota.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say, you drove my wife to Minnesota for, you know, 4 days. I think I could perhaps go pick your wife up from the train station that's five minutes from here.
Well,
not even.
It was all worth it because I got to watch Garbage Pail Kids the movie on the big screen with Earl.
Oh, there's a movie?
You didn't know?
No.
Well, I'll have to let you borrow the DVD.
Yes.
You can see.
Oh, I love Garbage.
See, you can see how awesome it is.
See, nope.
It's so cool.
Look at my thumbs up and the expression on my face about how entirely awesome and genuinely good this film is.
I believe you.
No, we should have totally tried to talk him into thinking it was good. We should have made him watch it and told him that it's awesome.
I had all my Garbage Pail Kids cards confiscated in elementary school, so you know, fond memories there.
No, the movie makes the cards look like Shakespeare. It's yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. So, okay, would you like me to run in the other room and whip up some news of the stupid?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's...
Nothing better to do while you wait for your thing.
Yes.
Thing.
And now... a break or a music or something.
I moved to New York about 2.5 years ago. I like New York. I was born here. I lived here as a baby, so it's nice to be back. Yeah. Yeah, it's very nice to be back. It's changed a lot since I was a baby. It has. When I was a baby, everywhere you went, it was just shapes and colors everywhere. They have really gentrified the hell out of this place. Like my old neighborhood on the corner, or what I think was the corner, was this amorphous yellow blob. And now it's a Chipotle. I miss that blob.
You're the most beautiful person that I ever did see. I want to tell you how much that you mean to me. Monkey! I saw a monkey. Mean to me. You're pretty and you're beautiful and you're funny. The monkeys! Where I saw a monkey. Beautiful too, with a heart of gold that I love to... True! Monkeys! I said true! What? Monkeys! You are my beloved, my lovely fair. My love... I love you. Monkey! Get him off me! 12 times I told you I loved you today. Here comes 13, baby, I love... Monkey! I love you more than yesterday. Oh, baby, baby, it's the end of my song. Really, I love you. Monkey's on me! Get him off! I got the monkeys on me! I got monkeys! Oh, it's terrible! I love you!
And now it's time for...
News! Oh! The Stupid!
buy Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The Loch Ness Monster is on vacation in Wisconsin, and state officials want the legendary lady to leave. Department of Natural Resources spokesman Dan Bauman says a sculpture of Nessie is illegally obstructing the Chippewa River in Eau Claire and must be removed by the person who placed it there. The sculpture's creator remains a mystery, though a person who anonymously emailed the Eau Claire Leader Telegram on Thursday said it would be removed within 10 days. Retailer Menards says it would like to acquire the gorilla art and that the monster could make her home in retention ponds at the home improvement chain's Eau Claire property. The Loch Ness Monster was first spotted at Loch Ness, a waterway some 10 miles from the south of Inverness, Scotland, in 1933. So, you know, that's what you call a transplant when you move from one area to another to find work at Menards.
Right. Dublin. Letting your telephone ring in a courtroom is rarely a good idea. Taking the call is worse. A Northern Ireland man received a brief jail sentence Wednesday after his phone rang. The judge told him to turn it off, but instead he took the call and he had a brief chat. The judge ordered 36-year-old Paddy Sweeney behind bars for 2 hours, then fined him £200, $322, for willfully interrupting the court in Londonderry, Northern Ireland's second largest city. Sweeney had been watching a civil trial at the time. Sweeney could have faced a maximum penalty of 1 month in jail and a £2,500 fine, which is $4,025. Joke, joke, joke. Joke. Baby jokes, baby jokes.
I'm from Dublin. I'm gonna go back there after I enter my phone. Obscure Saturday Night Live reference. Mike Myers.
The whole room goes dead silent.
Moonbeam will get that.
Moonbeam doesn't listen to our podcast.
In York. Just York, apparently. A 23-year-old Southeast Nebraska man has legally become Tyrannosaurus Rex. The York Times News reports that the man entered the York County courtroom on Monday as Tyler Gold and left it with the moniker Tyrannosaurus Rex Joseph Gold. Gold says in his public filing for the change that the dinosaur's name is cooler. He says that, as an entrepreneur, name recognition is important and the new name is more recognizable. The newspaper report does not describe his line of business. Judge Alan Gless asked Gold at Monday's hearing whether he wanted a new name so he could hide from creditors or law enforcement. Gold said no. Gless noted that Gold had gone through the proper legal channels for changing his name, so the judge granted Gold's request. So if Gold ever gets married, the woman who marries him can say, "I got a T-Rex!"
Yes.
Yes. He's got a big head and little arms, and he didn't think his plan through.
Largo, Florida. A Florida man is charged with felony drunken driving and wildlife violations after police discovered a small monkey in his truck. Largo police say Eugene Carl Kotelman was speeding when they stopped him Thursday. He was driving on a suspended license and had been previously charged numerous times with driving on a suspended license and DUI. Officers noticed a small monkey in Kotelman's truck and released the primate to his friend. After Kotelman was released on bond from the DUI charge, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officers charged him with possession of wildlife and 2 counts of violating fish and wildlife rules. They took custody of the monkey. Police did not have a way to contact Kotelman and no current phone listing could be found. People are stupid and I got a T-Rex.
Monkey!
This has been News of the Stupid.
I saw a monkey.
Can I have my powder?
Yes.
And water.
But the important question is...
What's Luke plugging now?
What's at the funk? What's at that funk?
It's a monkey. Shh.
Right now at the funk, you can download for free... songs that I mostly haven't heard. The Funniest Guy in the Office by the Chris Waffle Experience. I Noticed You Noticing Me by Scooter Picnic. They Said I Was Mad by Consortium of Genius. Ultimate Epic Video Game Medley Third Strike Revenge of the Return of the Rise of the Remake of the New Challengers by Insane Ian. Underboob by Possible Oscar. Quit Freaking Out Over Boobs by Tom Smith. Black Holes Suck by Nuclear Bubble Wrap.
and Devo Are You Shoebox by Devo Spice.
Featuring Shoebox.
Yes, and what about Luke Ski's Kickstarter? It is currently at the amount of just over $3,000. So, we are going for a stretch goal of $5,500, and if we hit that stretch goal, then I will throw a big party in Chicago over a whole weekend called LukeskiCon, which will feature a Fump Fest concert with myself and other members of the Fump performing. So for the details on all that and the prizes you can win for pledging, go to my Kickstarter, which is kickstarter.com, and do a search for Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig. Go to the Update tab and look at the most recent update to watch that video. If you haven't watched the first video, watch that one first and then watch the second one and read all about it. Don't you want to be involved at a really awesome party with Luke Ski and other people sitting next to Luke Ski? Yes.
Right now it seems like you're... You've come a reasonable way, but you're still not really close to hitting your stretch goal. So if you guys really want Luke Ski Con to happen, you better do the Kickstarter theme and bobber.
Yes, and you can
I want it to happen because it sounds fun.
Yes.
And I don't want it to happen because I'm probably going to do half of it.
Infinite cake balls!
Fuck you!
So comments go now because we're trying to finish this up.
Number 11 says, I love hearing about Alex, but I'm sure Carrie will keep telling us about him whether or not we encourage her. When you say that he touches things, do you actually mean tries to put things in his mouth, or is that a baby development spoiler?
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
In all honesty, we need to do more tummy time because he's not doing that much with the touching things or bopping things, and he sure as hell isn't to the point of being able to try to put things in his mouth because he can't grab them.
He's putting his hands in his mouth.
He puts his hands in his mouth all the time right now. But, Alex.
Yes.
Alex.
Elizabeth says, for your information, Luke, MarCon should only be Easter weekend next year, and then hopefully it will be better scheduled after that. Well, okay, I will take that into mental account, but... From what I heard, it was going to be like another 3 years, but perhaps that is misinformation. Anyway, and then here's another comment from number 11.
Number 11 says, any chance that you'll be able to convince Carrie to perform at Luke Ski Con 2012? If it happens, I will. I mean, it is local, so I'm not that worried about being able to be at local cons. It's just traveling for cons is a thing.
Plus, there's that whole, we went to see Nerdist Podcast live. We're going to have to do Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport live at Luke Ski Con so that we'll have an audience.
That would be awesome.
So, all the more reason for you to go to Kickstarter.com and to donate to Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig Kickstarter.
My face lit up at that. Oh, that reminds me. I got to tell you about this dream I had.
Okay.
I had a dream about Bad Rapport that we were assigned to have a Bad Rapport television show, like how the Nerdist podcast has a television show.
And on then, what channel?
I don't know. And then Ken was all like super, super stoked because they wanted him to be a part of it too for the Let's Call Ken segment. So it was awesome.
We'll also make a note to call Ken in the next episode.
Yes.
We can't really right now, but... Ken is an important part of the Bad Rapport pantheon.
Ken, you have been warned.
Yes. So, 916 Luke Ski, 916-585-3754 to make audio comments, or you can email us at badreport@gmail.com, or you can do the most effective thing, which is, leave a comment for this episode at badreport.com. Anything else, Carrie?
Baby jokes.
Anything else, Josh?
Baby jokes.
Anything else, Sarah?
Kitties!
Alrighty then. Between baby jokes and kitties, that's the end of this episode, which was, we didn't say the number, did we? Episode 63.
You and Bill and Moonbeam were supposed to say it. Episode number 63.
Of Bad Rapport, today being May 10th.
2012.
And be sure to listen to the Fumpcast episode 100, which will be posted by the time you hear this. So that should be fun. We're playing clips from kind of a retrospective, funny moments from the past 100 episodes, as well as talking to the guys from Scooter Picnic and possibly Chris Waffle. So yeah, that's at the Fumpcast, which you can find at thefump.com. But this is Bad Rapport, episode 63, signing off. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Josh.
Oh, God.
And I'm Alex.
Where's the monkey?
Monkey!
Eat monkeys.
Beats by Hellatite, rhymes by Shock G. Hellatite's Cubase and Pro Tools system, courtesy of Illegal Internet.
I used to be a sperm.
Was it fun?
Nah, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
Or was it fun?
Hell nah, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
Was it fun?
No, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
Was it fun?
No, it wasn't.
It was hurry up, run.
Many years ago, I was a sperm and a ball in a really great nation, 100 million strong. And everybody's waiting for the big day when they open up the main gate and let us go play. It only happens once in a lifetime, a chance to go to heaven, and in ball land, heaven means the egg. Then out of 100 million of us, only one gets to dip in. Can you imagine the competition? An all-out bloody war to the finish line. My man Al, he was swimming in a squiggly line. I'm like, hey Cap, why you zigzagging like that? He said, I was raised Baptist, and this is what we practice. I'm trying to go to heaven. Look at page 77, it says a zigzag line is divine. I'm like, all right, Joe, whatever's clever. Me, I got a different plan. I'm swimming in a straight line, fast as I can. Peace. After that, I see my girl Reese fine as fuck, but she was swimming in a circle like she stuck. I'm like, Reese, what up with it? Why you not running? She said that I'm a Christian and running is a sin. I said, what about the egg, baby? What about survival? She said, you better slow it down, Greg. Have you read the Bible? Yeah, and the Quran and the color purple. But I strongly suggest swim straight, not a circle. She said that I'm a heathen and I'm having too much fun, but I left her standing there because I gotta keep running.
I used to be a star. No, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
But was it fun?
Hell nah, it was hurry up, run. Then I run into this brother named Ben. Said suicide in the holy wars, how you get in? Reminded me of Al a little bit, except without the perm. I got away from Ben, he was killing other sperms. Germs, I noticed on my left, but I kept racing. They had a flag, said gonorrhea nation. Expressions on their face was ugly, plus they smelled bad. I was glad when I see my man Brad. I'm like, Brad, what up with it? Why you not running? I just become a Mormon, won't be doing any running anymore. Oh no, another bro bites the dust. He said, have you met Jesus yet? I said, I gotta go home, I'm in a rush. You won't find an egg like that. Originally it was a curse if you're black.
Ooh,
I should have slapped that cat or dropped that cat, but I ain't got time to stop like that. How could he be so lost like that? Back to the race, I get to the main gate first, but I pause because I read about the nations that was lost to a titty or an ass fuck. Imagine it, joke was on them, they were swimming around in shit. Another 100 million of us was dead when they found them, died from the spermicide up inside a condom. Cats is on my heels, I gotta think fast, I guess it looks safe. Left the shaft of my world, went out in pink space, and there it was, as beautiful as all God. The body egg, woo, glad I wasn't no blowjob.
I used to be a sperm.
No, it was a fun shot,
no, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
Yeah, what's it fun?
Hell nah, it was hurry up, run.
I used to be a sperm.
Run, 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 hurry up, run, 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 run.
Wait, keep it going now. Keep it going. Yeah. Putting it down for my dog Eli. Yeah, used to be a sperm, baby. Shock Jigger.
We all used to be sperms. Don't front.
Better keep running.
Don't
better keep running out here. That's all I know. Yeah. Run to that light. Just run towards that light. Yeah. Think, breathe, think, run.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Monkeys on me! Get him off! I got the monkeys on me! I got monkeys! Oh, it's terrible!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.